right hand. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth in this matter.
I do.
Thank you. Please be seated. State your name and spell it for the record, please.
My name is Scott Nordstrom. Scott, S-C-O-T-T, Nordstrom, N-O-R-D-S-T-R-O-M. Live at 2590 West Timber Drive in Eagle. I'm here in support of the M3 application. I was a member of the Eagle City Council during the course of the initial application that M3 presented to become a part of the future of the city of Eagle, and was involved in the entire process that reviewed and granted the land use and the future annexation to the city of Eagle. It was a very exhaustive process that incorporated a lot of public outreach, months of Eagle City review, public hearings, and a final determination by the city council. The city of Eagle has some of the most stringent guidelines of any municipality in the state of Idaho, including water usage, water reuse, and land planning, which also incorporates management and minimalization of water consumption. As an Idahoan and as a citizen of Eagle, I think there are a few issues that are more important than the availability of water, and that certainly that could be readily available for the future of our area. The city of Eagle went to great lengths to make sure that M3 met the city's standards on behalf of the citizens who would be most affected by the addition of that subdivision. Some of the highlights of the M3 plan that were included in the development agreements that were reached by the city of Eagle included the addition of the study that they performed of the aquifer, which ended up being, as we got more involved in it, probably the largest undertaking ever done in the state of Idaho for a water research project. Their studies and their testings were, in my opinion, more than sufficient to make the case for available water for the project without adverse effect to the surrounding area. They also made a commitment to establishing municipal water rights and a municipal water system that would be granted to the city of Eagle for future management on behalf of the citizens, and that the quantity and the quality of water that they were going to provide would meet the standards that we would want as a municipal system and be able to help manage the impact of that area from a municipal standpoint. They went on as part of the agreement to build a wastewater treatment facility on site and to bring those standards of reuse coming out of that wastewater system up to Class A water standards prior to discharging it back into the ground. Their extensive plans for reuse, water conservation, which was evidenced by the land use design criteria that they created that was ultimately agreed upon after tremendous amount of time, hours spent in public testimony and evaluation before the city reached an agreement with them. Those things include water metering and zero-scape planning and design that went into the master plan of their community. Obviously, the city of Eagle is not a water expert, no one claimed to be, but at the same time, recognizing the importance of water, we spent an inordinate amount of time delving into the subject. I think the final decision rightfully belongs with the Idaho Department of Water Resources because they are the experts in working on behalf of the citizens of the state, and I do trust in their ability to make a correct decision, final outcome. I think it's important to note, as we checked into the background of M3 when it first became apparent that they were going to have a significant impact on the community of Eagle, that they do have a very successful history of development in the West, and that their recognition of the success in the foothills and their project resides within the ability to not only be a good neighbor, but to also have the resources necessary to support a community that they're proposing. And without adequate water, they simply can't do that, nor can the community that surrounds it survive either. I guess I'd like to leave you with a couple of thoughts. Number one, I think change is inevitable, and we certainly are seeing that in this valley. And that property rights at some point should prevail above and beyond almost anything else that we have to deal with as citizens of the state. And that sometimes I wonder, as I read the press and watch the goings on, both at a city level when I was involved and as I watch it going on in the further today, not just for M3, but for a lot of other people that try and initiate change, that maybe M3 isn't really the evil doer here, and that they don't really have an intent to take advantage of or adversely affect. And that sometimes I read that the opposition states that they're going to, they overstate the uses and the consumptions that are really going to happen there in that particular development. And that perhaps that they're ending up using the water issue as almost a tactic to avoid development, period. And I think in reality, this development really demands no more water consumption than a typically sized farm of the same magnitude. And as I've heard, just one other comment, as I've heard some of the testimony today, it strikes me funny. It's almost like when I was involved on city council, that it seems like progress and development are really at the core of the issue here. And whether it be M3 with a 7,000 acre development, or whether it be XYZ company with a 100 acre development, or whether it be the developments that have taken place to date, they're all developments and it's all part of change. And I think it's important that we make sure that everyone can figure out how to do this harmoniously, but I don't think it's fair to say stop one because it's an issue of a larger magnitude than the next guy that's going to build something smaller.
Thank you.
Let's see. This is a public witness, Mr. Lawrence. I would like to know, though, Mr. Nordstrom, are you speaking on behalf of the city of Eagle today?
Absolutely not. I am no longer a city councilman. I retired from that job 2 years ago.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mr. Lawrence?
Thank you, Mr. Nordstrom, for coming in today and writing those words. Just a couple of questions. As a former city council member, are you familiar with the pre-annexation agreement between M3 and City of Eagle?
I am. I was a part of that judgment.
Do you understand that agreement to contemplate having the City of Eagle own and operate the M3 municipal water system?
That's correct.
No more questions.
Okay, Mr. Ford?
Yeah, Mr. Rosen, thanks for providing your testimony. I believe you stated that property rights need to prevail. Is that right?
I think that's an important criteria, yes.
And do you realize that in the state of Idaho, water rights are considered property rights?
I do.
So when you say property rights prevail, how do you put that into the context of senior water rights potentially being affected by new developments? What do you mean by property rights prevail?
Well, I think that everyone is entitled to fair and useful use of the land. I think that, I don't know that I can quote you the law in terms of senior property rights or water rights versus property rights and try and become an authority on that because I'm not. But I can tell you that, as was stated in an earlier testimony, that once upon a time that ground up there was owned by a handful of farm ranch families, and that people sort of assumed that that was public ground when it never was and never was intended to be, but people sort of allowed you to use it. I think those people chose to sell their land. And the net result was someone bought that land. And now they choose to make a use out of it themselves. That's what I consider property rights.
And so in that property rights, when that land is purchased from the early ranching families, and the new owners propose to use the land differently, in this case, more water than was previously used, how do you handle property rights from senior water rights concerned with the new developments going in and their rights to develop their land? Do you see that as easy resolution?
No, I don't think it's an easy resolution, and I think that's at the crux of why you're here. I think M3 has a specific and distinct responsibility to make sure that they do not adversely affect other people's water. And certainly the people that are already there and living on that land in coexistence nearby deserve every right to have access to their water. I think, though, sometimes there's confusion between what was and what will be in terms of, gee, I had water 20 years ago, and gee, 5 years ago I had a little bit less water, and today I got a little bit less water. And so here comes this new development, and I guess in theory that means I'm going to have less water. So I think M3 bears a burden of making sure that they don't distract from some other person's water right. But at the same time, I think that can be accomplished. And I think that's what we saw when they presented their studies to us.
Are you aware, I don't know if you've been part of this testimony, but are you aware that the North Ada County Groundwater Users Association has discussed at these hearings the possibility of phasing and then monitoring and then adding more water rights over time along with the phasing in of M3's developments? Are you aware of our position for NAGWA on that?
I am somewhat aware of it, mostly just by general reading. I'm not specifically knowledgeable.
Do you constitute that phase-in approach that NAGWA feels feasible and then associated monitoring to make sure that it isn't having an effect on other property rights as being appropriate and feasible?
I don't know that I know the subject well enough to answer that.
Does it appear to you with that position for NAGWA that we are against development?
I don't know what the association's position is. I could maybe individually take an assumption based on what I've read and heard and seen that some might be and some might not be.
So with the approach of NAGWA being on the record as saying phased-in approach with adequate monitoring, so does that appear to be anti-development? Or is that sustainable development?
Well, again, I'm not an expert on it. I don't have an opinion.
Okay. And then earlier, Ms. Jekyll, we were here during her reading of her testimony.
Certainly.
Do you remember me reading to her out of some of M3's expert reports the statements that wells, that based on these high capacity wells, will cause drawdowns that will affect other wells?
I remember that.
Okay. And you also remember the statement in M3's reports that the high capacity wells that over time will likely cause an effect on artesian flowing conditions and where pumps may be needed?
I remember reading that or hearing that.
And do you see that as a potential effect to those property rights?
I think that I would take that if I was trying to make a judgment on it as a concern and I would want to know more.
And then your pre-annexation agreement with between the M3 and the City of Eagle, can you point us to any knowledge you have where it talks about remediation of problems to adjacent well owners that are affected?
I don't know that it had anything like that in there, because I don't know that that's the jurisdiction that the city carries.
And are you aware of any discussions that the City of Eagle may have had with M3 in terms of, as they accept these new phased-in water systems, and, in terms of an obligation to do long-term monitoring that M3 talks about, as well as potential remediation?
I don't know that I can quote you by going to a document and pointing it out. I do remember monitoring was a big point of discussion during the discussions about water because of concerns about levels.
And was the City of Eagle, at the time you were involved with the City of Eagle, willing to take on this long-term monitoring and remediation?
Was the city willing to?
Yeah. When M3 is gone?
I don't remember that we were involved in the monitoring, to be honest with you. I don't remember.
So you're not aware of any kind of an agreement the City of Eagle was willing to take on, apparently, for long-term monitoring or remediation when people's wells may...
Well, I don't know that we were trying to solve the water issue in and of itself to the extent that this review is going on here.
Okay.
Ours was land use driven as much as anything.
I believe you, based on the land use driven, I believe you said in your testimony, and correct me if I'm stating it incorrectly, is that those types of land use decisions were more important than the availability of water, is what I wrote down. Is that correct?
I don't necessarily remember saying that, but we can go back. Would you paraphrase what you think
I said? You made a statement along the lines that more important... there were more important decisions that the city was making in terms of the overall land use decisions, more important than the availability of water.
Well, I don't know that I said that. I think what I was trying to say was that water was certainly a key component of the land use issue, and that it certainly was, to the extent that the city had influence and responsibility, we try to evaluate and take that into account.
And then have you been able to make time to read through the results of any of the M3 technical documents talking about their aquifer characteristics and sustainability?
I did at the time that we reviewed the application. We had reams of information that we were spending hours and hours reading through as we went through phases of it.
And are you aware of the document prepared by Idaho Department of Water Resources called their staff, I think it's the staff memorandums, technical document, where they have identified many concerns with M3's findings?
I have
you
not
had a chance
that.
To read that?
I have not read that.
Okay. No further questions. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Mr. Smith, questions?
I have no questions. I think Mr. Thornton's covered any questions I have.
Okay, Mr. Edwards?
I have no questions.
Okay, I'll break here and ask a couple of questions of Mr. Nordstrom. I'll give the parties one more chance. Mr. Nordstrom, the other witness, public witnesses that testified have all clearly stated their stake in the matter. And your interest, at least as far as I can tell, is as a participant, as a city council member. And so I want to explore that subject just a little bit with you. I see that your address is on Timber, West Timber Drive. Can you tell me where that's located with respect to the City of Eagle?
Sure. It's about one and a quarter miles west of the corner of Highway 44 and 55. So State Street and 55, with the bypass of 55.
Okay.
It's in the Redwood Creek subdivision.
Okay. I know where you're located. And you receive water from
United Water.
Okay. And the last question that I have then is...
Could I address the second half of your question?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't have a stake in the matter, to be frank about it. What I do have is a love for the city and the surrounding area, and a concern that sometimes issues get, not unimportantly delved into, but sometimes sidetracked by other issues other than what we're trying to actually resolve, which is to make sure that the evolution of our community is done in the very best way.
And last question, what do you do for a living, Mr. Nordstrom?
I buy and sell mining, construction, and industrial equipment.
Okay. Thank you. Now, further questions, Mr. Lawrence?
No.
Okay. Mr. Thornton?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mr. Evans? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I am at the end of the list. Are there other public witnesses that wish to testify? Okay, I saw one hand go up first, so.
Oh, I got here last, so I'll call.
All right, Mr. Bastian, I know who you are. I guess I'll call your name. Come forward, please.